Ken was kind enough to bring up an album which came out on Steeplechase Records. They released from Denmark, right?
Right.
And they've been putting out a lot of Jackie McLean albums and a lot of good music, which doesn't get the opportunity to be recorded in the States. They've been recording it and playing with a group, includes Kenny Drew on piano, Bo Steef on bass, and Alex Reel on drums. And Ken, being a talented musician, is also known for his playing multiple reed instruments as opposed to just playing one. Is featured on alto sax, flute, bassoon, oboe, and bass clarinet. And we're going to be, after we talk to Ken for a bit, we'll be listening to this album, which is called Hindsight. And we'll also hear from a tape of Ken McIntyre, which was made at the studio Rivby at the festival, which they had in June. But first, you know, as I said, welcome. And how long were you over in Copenhagen, like, recording for this? Was it recorded in Copenhagen?
Yes, it was. I was there for 2 weeks, and I stayed with the producer. And while I was there, I did a couple nights at the Montmartre on a radio program, and a couple interviews, and we recorded the album.
Mm-hmm. And it was just a brief stay, then it wasn't?
Right, just 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Kenny Drew is living over there, right?
Yes, he is. In fact, he was given a party while I was there for having been in Copenhagen for 12 years.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
So, I guess he likes it then.
It would seem to suggest something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I understand that you're teaching now at Old Westbury?
Right. I'm the director of music and dance at the college at Old Westbury. The college at Old Westbury, for those of you who may not know, is part of the State University of New York system. And our emphasis is on African-American music. And African-American music includes all of the terms that you've heard applied to the music that you listen to today. For example, it includes boogie-woogie, rock and roll, jazz, new thing, swing, the shout, the cry, holler, blues, gospel, all of that is African American music, and that's what we deal with.
And what kind of program do you have? Is it, is it only for people who play, or is it also for?
No, the college is a regular college, liberal arts, and those who would like to major in music can do that and receive a BA with an emphasis in music, because we do not offer conservatory type training. There are academic subjects that one has to take.
Mm-hmm.
So there are students that take courses, for example, the instrumental music class. There are many instrumentalists that are not music majors. They just go to school and they're interested in learning to play, and our emphasis there is on improvisation. So we have students that may take the instrumental music course, may take one or two of the history courses, who are not music majors, just for the experience and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I notice you're talking about the history and, you know, the spectrum. I notice you have a wide spectrum of compositions on this album, from your own work to Billy Strayhorn compositions and Coltrane and Thelonious Monk.
Well, the point was to try and get closer to the people, those people who are familiar with, say, Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life, or John Coltrane's Naima, or Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight. Since it's been problematic for some people to understand where I'm coming from musically, I thought that by playing some of the standard repertoire, if you will, that one could draw a comparison, because people like to make comparisons before they can make any kind of judgment, unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately. Then one, after assuming they would purchase the album, would sit and listen, and then they could reminisce and compare all the people they've heard play these particular tunes and
see the differences
and see where I fall in that stack.
you know. Okay, why don't we listen to the first piece from the first side. This is your composition, Kim McIntyre's quartet, with Kenny Drew on piano, Bo Steef bass, and Alex Reel on drums, playing a composition of Cam's called Bootsy. And in the liner notes, they say that it was... are these accurate?
Yeah.
Okay, it says the Bootsy was composed in 1959 for the alto saxophone. It's in the key of F minor and consists of 32 bars. Bootsy was at that time a comic strip character created by Ollie Harrington, who was drawing cartoons for the New York Amsterdam News. So Ken McIntyre and Bootsy. Okay, that was Ken McIntyre. Ken McIntyre from his album on Steeplechase Records called Hindsight. Heard an original composition, the name of which is Bootsy. Ken McIntyre on alto, Kenny Drew on piano, Bo Steef on bass, and Alex Reel on drums. This album was recorded January of 1974.
Yes.
And... so far, it's great. And I've been sitting here talking in the studio. We'll be talking with Ken a little later. I'd like to jump into this tape, which we have from the studio Rivbi concerts. They were it was the evening of June the 27th this summer, and Ken McIntyre was performing on oboe, flute, bassoon, alto saxophone, and bass clarinet, Andy Vega on percussion, Alonzo Gardner on electric bass, and Andre Strobert on drums. So we'll hear the first set and the first composition, Ken McIntyre and his quartet. Ken McIntyre, live at the Studio Rivbi, an original composition called Arabelle. And Ken McIntyre, Andy Vega, Alonzo Gardner, and Andre Strobert. And Ken is in the studio tonight, and we've been talking a little bit about musical scenes, various parts of the world. And as again, you said, there's like a heavy emphasis on history in this, in your album, and also in the music that you were playing that evening. You know, a wide range of styles, wide variety. Do you see yourself as sort of an archivist? You know, trying to keep a lot of styles alive while doing your own thing with them?
What I'm doing is, in short, yes, trying to keep the styles alive, trying to be an archivist, but at the same time, I'm trying to focus on and project the interrelationship of the music in terms of African-American music, and not as some people like to categorize music as jazz, because jazz represents a period in time, say from roughly 1916 to perhaps 1931, 32, swing came in. Before 1915, it was considered ragtime. After swing, it was bebop. Then you have boogie-woogie, you have gospel, you have all these terms that are used. And what it does, it tends to, by categorizing, force people to think compartmentally.
That each is different.
That each is different from everything else. And once you begin to separate, you lose the essence of the music, and perhaps more importantly, you lose where it's coming from, where it originally came from.
Mm-hmm.
And although this is a distasteful subject, perhaps, for many people in the United States, the music came out of slavery. If there had been no slavery, there would not be any of this music. one could speculate and say, well, yes, there might be this, but the reality is that there was slavery, and out of this slavery came this wonderful music. And to add perhaps more insult to injury, the slaves who were black, coming from Africa, were considered chattel, were considered subhuman, were considered three-fifths of a man. Now, when one thinks about that, that's kind of a dastardly thing to say about a people. And out of that group of people came this kind of music. It raises questions historically. How can you accuse a people that have come forth with such beautiful music of being
under the worst circumstances, either.
Sub this, three-fifths of a man. So, of course, we understand the reasons for that. And what we're concerned with is trying to make those who may come from, may be descendants of the, quote, subhuman species, or the chattel species, or three-fifths of a man species, make them aware that this music came from there. It didn't come from, as some of us would like to believe, as a result of 1916 when the original Dixieland Jazz Band recorded. It didn't come from Paul Whiteman, who was considered the king of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come from, for example, I read a book, I have the book, and it states its first proper name with respect to the music is Benny Goodman. They did not create the music,
mm-hmm.
but it's written, it's documented, and one who is not aware will go off believing that's the case.
I was watching earlier this week on Interface, it's a program on Channel 13,
mm-hmm.
They had U.B. Blake on,
mm-hmm.
and he was playing and talking. U.B. Blake is, for people who might not know, is a ragtime pianist, 92 years old and still, you know, strong, you know, really, really playing, and he's, I don't know, something came up about Paul Whiteman somehow. And he said the only thing he thanked Paul Whiteman for was for playing when he played his tunes, he would get like a few cents royalties off of him. He said he, but his book was all, you know, stuff taken from other people, taken from other styles. And they showed a film of U.B. Blake and his partner, the man,
Noble Sissle.
Yes. It was an old television, an old film recording that was made in like 1918 or 1920, one of the early things that somebody had a home recorder and home camera, and it showed them singing around the piano. And, I mean, there's no way that you can say that Al Jolson or somebody had discovered something, you know, some jazz style or something of singing, because this is 20 years, you know, 30 years earlier, not 20, I mean, about 10 or 15 years earlier, there it is. They're doing it, you know, with, you know, the same phrasing and the whole thing. It's there's a lot there's a lot to get into about that and about...
But to put in a broader context, when you consider that it is stated in history books that Columbus discovered America, when you look at that and you think about it, there's an implication, or you can draw the inference, that it didn't exist until Columbus discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true with the music. At about 1920, European Americans began writing about the music. And in fact, European Americans coined the phrase at that particular time, jazz music, the jazz age.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know this, then you have to then deal with it. And that's what I'm attempting to do, to just make certain that everyone that I come in contact with is conscious of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about African-American music. This doesn't mean that anybody cannot play it. It means that everybody can play it, but or attempt to play it, but know that you're moving into the arena of African-American music, not something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, I am a conservatory-trained musician.
It's just like that when European classical music is played, I mean, there's no doubt what it was intended
precisely,
for. It's not
precisely.
It's not the music of
precisely.
South America,
precisely.
You know, it's the music of European culture.
Precisely.
And people that play it actually try and get into it. They go over
exactly.
to Vienna or someplace,
exactly.
you know, to find out what's happening. Yeah, why don't we listen to something else and then continue talking
fine,
afterwards. We're going to hear another piece which Ken McIntyre and his quartet performed at the Studio Rivbi. This, once again, this recording was made on June the 27th. And so after we hear this, we'll come back and talk some more. Ken McIntyre. Ken McIntyre live at Studio Rivbi. Those were two pieces featuring Ken on bassoon. First we heard what Ken calls his intellectual composition, Da Da Di Da, and then that was followed by another original composition, Julie. And once again, the group includes Andy Vega on percussion, Alonzo Gardner on bass, and Andre Strobert on drums. Ken McIntyre was heard here on bassoon. Before we're going to listen to some more from the Rivbi concert and also some more from the album Hindsight, which has come out on Steeplechase Records. But I'd like to talk to you about the whole fact that you play more than one instrument, that instead of specializing in just one instrument, you know, you play bassoon and saxophone and flute and, you know, it seems like there are a number of people are moving in that direction away from just, you know, one man, one horn.
It's like a language. It's like, I guess, living. As we live, we learn a lot of things. Most of us do. And if you learn to play, I found, if you learn to play one instrument well, and you understand music, you can play a number of instruments, because I play other instruments, which I'm not playing on the album, several others, in fact. But it's understanding music, the language of music, that enables one to play, because the music comes from within. Unfortunately, we're taught that the music comes from the instrument. The instrument is an inanimate object, and the human being is the instrument. Obviously, if you consider someone like some of the great singers, that's the human voice.
Betty Carter.
That's the human voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from within. So all we're doing is, instead of doing it through our voice, we're using instruments to go through. Be it drums, strings, or reeds, or brasses. It's the same thing. So anything, a real musician is not lost without his instrument, because it's within.
Mm-hmm.
And he can sing, and he can tap simultaneously to get across what he is talking about through his instrument. And this is a development which is kind of alien to most people, because we're taught that you must learn a technique of playing the instrument, and there's certain disciplines that you have to go through. And in fact, we're not even exposed to improvisation, because we're told that we have to read music, etc., which is, reading music is fine, but that's only half of it.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess you could say also that do you find that in your composing, do you think of certain pieces for certain instruments?
Oh, yes.
Or is it a matter of your feeling from the...
When I'll write with certain instruments in mind. And the reason, one of the reasons that I play so many instruments is I don't have an orchestra at my disposal yet. So I play these different reed instruments, woodwind instruments, and I play over the register, complete full register, to get different kinds of sounds, and which can be translated, for those of us who are more visual, into colors. And those colors come together and give off certain kinds of rays or certain kinds of vibrations, which paint, for me, nice pictures or give off nice feelings. in an orchestral sense, with only four people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if I were more fortunate, I would be conducting a 90-piece orchestra and blah, blah, blah.
It would be somebody else to do.
You know, and I probably wouldn't even play, because I would just write and conduct it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what I want to hear, and I know how to write it down, and so it's just a matter of getting people to. But I'm working on that right now, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's hear a John Coltrane composition, Naima, which is from your album on Steeplechase Records. The name of the album, again, is Hindsight. It was recorded in Copenhagen, January of 74. And it features Ken McIntyre, Kenny Drew, Bo Steef, and Alex Reel.
Might I interrupt for a minute? The album has been selling in New York City at a couple places. One is King Carol at 5th and 42nd,
mm-hmm.
and the other is West 8th Street, they call it Happy Tunes.
Happy Tunes.
Yeah.
Is it up here at 100?
15th, 16th Street, I think so, because they have two stores, although they seem to sell out rather rapidly. And the discount center down on 8th Street, there are a few shops down there that have it, for those that might be interested.
The name again is Hindsight, and it's Steeplechase Records. It's the name of the record label. Ken McIntyre. It was a green cover, green and black, and so it's easy to find. Once again, let's hear John Coltrane's Naima. Naima is performed by Ken McIntyre. Just like to remind you that you're listening to WKCR FM 89.9 on your dial and stereo in New York City, New York. We're sitting here talking with Ken McIntyre about life and music, and I'd like to remind you again that he has an album out on Steeplechase Records, which is available at Happy Tunes and King Carol and some other places. It's called Hindsight, and you said that you have another album?
Yes, I just recorded another album for Steeplechase approximately 5 weeks ago. The producer was here, and that is due to be released November 25th. So I have another one to look forward to.
The name?
The name, it's going to be Corner Time. It's one of the tunes. And I'm kind of glad about that. And I'm glad about Hindsight because it's been released in Japan recently.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the Japanese are really getting into the music.
Mm-hmm.
So
seems like every place.
Little story, yes, it's very true. Every place,
but
except.
Okay, why don't we listen to one place where there are people are getting into the music here in the city, and that's the Studio Rigby. And we're going to hear some more from the performance of June the 27th that evening. Live, Ken McIntyre, Andy Vega, Alonzo Gardner, and Andre Strobert. So